This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on India's strides in the defense sector. The participants are Ajay Banerjee, senior journalist, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
2024 has witnessed various breakthroughs in the defense sector. From self-reliance to operational preparedness, the year saw many things unfold. To discuss more on this, we are joined by senior journalist and defense analyst Mr. Ajay Banerjee, who has been following defense sector very closely for more than two decades. Mr. Banerjee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deeksha.
The Defense Ministry has declared the year 2025 as the year of reforms. Mr. Banerjee, before we delve deep into the subject, I would first like you to enlighten us with one major highlight of the year 2024, because it was setting the tone for year 2025.
Very true, Deeksha, but picking out one thing out such a big ministry is nearly impossible. I'll segment it into three small parts. First of all, the standoff with China ended at the LAC, the disengagement happened. So the first step of the process has been completed in October. The second step is of the how we grew as an exporter of equipment. I'll just read out a small little number. Almost 21,600 crore worth of equipment was exported from India. Military equipment, we're talking about military equipment. We also produced on our own large chunk of equipment that is almost... We produced in India, the numbers were huge, and I can tell you the number which for this financial year, we are talking at a sum of almost 1.72 lakh crores as the capital, out of which rupees 1.5 lakh crores is for domestic procurement. So you can imagine we are focusing on domestic procurement and also exports, while our relations at the border with China have seen a disengagement. These are the three positives I see from 2024.
I'd like to draw your attention to self-reliance in the defense sector. You spoke about it. A statement issued by the Ministry of Defense quoted Mr. Rajnath Singh as saying that the year of reforms 2025 would aim at transforming the armed forces into a technologically advanced combat-ready force capable of multi-domain integrated operations. And the target has been set to achieve of 50,000 crore rupees in 2029. How are we moving in this direction? Can you just explain that?
One, I will assume what the defense minister has said, the target of 50,000 crores worth of exported 2029. I believe we will achieve that target probably earlier than 2029. Defense minister naturally is a politician. He knows, he speaks with guarded words. But I can make an estimate that this will happen much earlier. Two, the defense minister has critically told the forces of the armed forces and the Ministry of Defense that they have to look at cyber, space, emerging technologies, which includes artificial intelligence, machine learning, hypersonics and robotics. To explain to our listeners, hypersonics are basically missiles which travel at a greater speed and are difficult to detect. Robotics is just an emerging field, and as you know, artificial intelligence is still an emerging field, but its applications are already there. Now, as you ask, how do we reach this 50,000 crores? One, as I gave you the numbers of the budget this time, that we, in this fiscal, we are looking at almost 1.5 lakh crore worth of equipment to be procured from domestic sources. Now, we are also growing in the eyes of several other global south countries which want equipment which is well made at global standards but does not cost them a bomb. Now, a lot of our equipment, which includes artillery guns, which are already under export to several countries. The BrahMos, as everybody knows, has been exported to a country in Southeast Asia. We also are exporting vehicles. Tata has set up a plant in Africa to produce vehicles for African countries. We are also doing a lot of metallurgical work for other people, making ammunition for other people. So this number will be achieved very easily, Deeksha, because of Atmanirbhar Bharat, the self-reliance, what we're talking about in the past 3-5 years. It will happen.
As we speak about self-reliance or Atmanirbharta in the defense sector, let's listen in to former defense secretary Giridhar Aramane. He tells us the significance of Atmanirbharta in this sector.
We cannot depend upon any other country to help us during critical times. We have seen it during the 3-4 wars we have fought. We also have seen how costly will be acquisitions when there is a crisis from abroad. We have spent huge amount of money to acquire very low-tech components to maintain our equipment. So militarily, economically, these are very, very important. So Atmanirbharta is the most important task, and in defense sector, DRDO has been entrusted with the job.
Mr. Banerjee, I am quite inquisitive to know, how will artificial learning, which you also just mentioned is an emerging field, How is it going to help the defense sector? Can you just explain this?
It can impact the defense sector in many ways. First of all, artificial intelligence can be used to program drones. One example. Second example, artificial intelligence can be used to program holograms, which can project probably in the night that somebody is standing, whereas there may be nobody standing. So you fire at that image where there is nobody, where you give out your position by firing. So the enemy knows that this can happen. So artificial intelligence has many uses. I just gave you two examples. The list is long, including comprehension of what can the enemy do. Say, for example, a division of troops. What will be the movement patterns? The artificial intelligence can tell that what will the next pattern be? Or do they face a mountain on their side? Do they face a big river on their side? Is it snowing on that side? Will it slow down the movement of an army? Artificial intelligence will gather all that input and tell the commander on ground that this is a real picture.
That is quite an interesting fact. I hope it happens soon. Now, moving ahead, you spoke about China. And I would like to talk to you about the military diplomacy. India-China relations has been high point in the past year. And we were able to achieve a broad consensus to restore the ground situation in certain areas along the LSE. How do you view this and what measures are being taken to ensure peace and tranquility at the border with China?
See, two important meetings have happened. First of all, Prime Minister Modi met Xi Jinping at Kazan on the sidelines of the BRICS summit. This was followed by a meeting between External Affairs Minister Jaishankar and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. And the third meeting took place in December between Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi and our National Security Advisor Ajit Doval. Now, Ajit Doval and Wang Yi are also the special representatives tasked for the boundary question. The meeting they held also spoke about a very critical aspect about restoring peace and tranquility and maintaining the peace and tranquility. Prime Minister Modi and Xi at the meeting in Kazan in Russia tasked the special representatives to restore and uphold the peace and tranquility in border areas. Diplomatically, India has conveyed to China multiple times in the past 4 years that a peace and tranquil LAC will mean better bilateral relations. It was almost a prerequisite in our diplomatic talks with China that the peace and tranquility has to be restored at LAC before anything moves forward. Explain to our listeners, in October when we announced the disengagement, the External Affairs Minister has already told the Parliament the next two steps are following the disengagement, which has happened in October, are de-escalation and de-induction. De-escalation would be bringing troops back further down where they were, and de-induction, bringing them back to where they were, say in January 2020. Now, both the sides still have around 50,000 troops located close to each other, which is actually they are not stopping each other, they are not confronting each other, but they remain within say 20-30 kilometers of each other, which with such militaries, with such firepower on both sides available, is at a global risk. That is why the de-induction and de-escalation part is coming up in the next talks.
We spoke about the border with China. I would also like you to speak a little about the border with Pakistan. What has been the highlight in the past year with our border with the Pakistan?
Since the two Director Generals of Military Operations on both sides agreed in February 2021, if I'm not wrong, about maintaining peace and tranquility on the LOC, that is the line of control between India and Pakistan, which divides the state of Jammu and Kashmir on two sides. Pakistan holds the Pakistan-occupied Kashmir illegally, and we hold Jammu and Kashmir on our side. Now, we have agreed since February 2021 to hold peace and tranquility along the LOC. It has so far held. The Ministry of Defense, in its statement issued on 26th of December, mentioned the same thing, that the LOC is maintaining its peace. There have been no incidents with regards to firing from across. However, militants keep on trying to enter India. Our forces are there right at the LOC, holding the militants back into Pakistan, or pushing them back into Pakistan, and maintaining a constant vigil. Please keep in mind, it is not an easy terrain in the Jammu Kathua region. It is mountainous, streams flow fast during the monsoons. In the winters, north of Rajouri, there is a huge mountain, the Pir Panjal, and it is snowed out already. All that is part of the LOC. The troops are standing there, but the LOC at the moment is not what it was, say, 5 years or 7 years ago.
That's quite an encouraging news, Mr. Banerjee. Moving ahead now, let's talk about the Gaganyaan program. The Prime Minister revealed the names of 4 Indian Air Force astronauts to the nation and awarded them with the Space Wings in February 2024, a year back. The astronauts are Group Captain Prasanth Balakrishnan Nair, Group Captain Ajit Krishnan, Group Captain Angad Pratap and Group Captain Shubhanshu Shukla. Presently, Group Captain Shubhanshu Shukla and Group Captain Prasanth Balakrishnan Nair are undergoing space training at NASA for Axiom 4 mission to the International Space Station scheduled for this year. How big is this achievement for Air Force as well as for the nation in your views?
2 weeks ago, Deeksha, there was a meeting in the NASA about Indian program. Our ambassador to US, Vinay Quatraji, was there along with the senior US officials, including Kurt Campbell, the Deputy Secretary of State. So what was decided was that we will send a man to moon, as you have rightly mentioned. The two people are going and we have reviewed the progress. Next two things happening in the space sector, which will help the military and also in the civilian domain, is the launch of a satellite called NISAR, that is NASA ISRO satellite, which will map geospatially the Earth, have the capacity to map the Earth on multiple fronts, which will help us in climate change, in understanding the topography better than what we know. And also, critically, the second part, which is that India and the US, which US has officially said, are ready to work in the next steps in space collaboration. Next steps, I must tell you listeners, include a deeper understanding, sharing of information, sharing of intelligence, sharing of satellite data, which of course we have our own satellites, but the US has far greater number of satellites in the sky. So by the time we collect the data or we collate it, their satellites are also doing parallel work. So this thing which will happen, which we have decided or announced in second week of December, just 2 weeks ago, will be an important step.
Now I would like to draw your attention to the Indian Navy. A lot has been happening in the sea. How do you look at the achievements of the Indian Navy in the past year? What has been the highlight?
One word describes Navy's operations in the Arabian Sea and the Red Sea. Superb. I shall remind your listeners that they rescued a pirated ship. Indian Marine Commandos landed from a plane in the air at sea, mid-sea, 500 kilometers away from shore. They landed at sea in a parachute, boarded that pirated vessel and freed the pirated vessel and captured the pirates. This is just one example. We have escorted hundreds of ships through the piracy-infested waters. We have thwarted more than 3-4 dozen of such piracy attempts in the Red Sea. At one given point of time, the start of 2024, we had almost 12 ships committed to anti-piracy operations. We still have 2-3 ships committed permanently in the Gulf of Aden, that is south of Yemen going into the Red Sea, and also the Persian Gulf, which is the exit point from the Iranian oil and the east coast of Saudi Arabia, the Ras Al Khaimah type of point, which we have with them. That oil also comes from Ras Al Khaimah. Saudi Arabia's type of point is on the east coast of Saudi Arabia. Those ships also exit the Persian Gulf. We have a permanent escort station there also. Now coming to the point about the circumnavigation, the two young women officers were last near New Zealand. They are now starting the journey eastwards onto going south of South America. Then they go to Africa. It's a very important aspect. Navy has done this once. I remember Commander Abhilash Tommy has did it. And now these two young ladies are attempting. There was also a group of 6 women who did it some time ago. But this is the first time 2 women are doing it. And it is part of showing the Navy's work that they are putting the people through the rigors, understanding the seas. Now, these two young women who have been all alone at sea in a sailboat, they will understand the sea better than anybody else. So that is how I see it.
I would also like to talk to you about the operational readiness of the defense forces. Could you highlight the major achievements by all the 3 defense forces in the past year when it comes to operational readiness?
Or we'll start with the Indian Army. That's the largest. So Indian Army's operational readiness was defined by how we were postured at the LAC, that we all know, and also along the Pakistan front. The posture along LAC was strident, dug in the heels, and we have added a lot of new equipment, which is includes loitering ammunition. That means, to tell your listeners, an ammunition which stays in the air for a while, and it can be monitored and then be told to hit a certain target after a certain period. That is the loitering ammunition. We have added more newer type of drones, which give tactical information. We have added better artillery guns in the mountains. We have added more firepower to the tanks and night vision abilities. We have also in the past made 2 aviation brigades, one in the northern sector, one in the eastern sector. In the Air Force, as you know, that the fighter jets have been a bit delayed, the Tejas jets have been delayed. The defense minister has told the HAL to speed up, and that is what has happened, but they are fairly well off. Other than the fighter jet program, which is running a year behind schedule, they are well off. The helicopters are in place, the firepower is in place, the S-400 air defense missile is in place, and other aspects including Air Force network-centric operations, including the space operations, are in place. In case of the Navy, the warships continue to be built. Around 60 warships are being built presently in shipyards all across the country. And to tell your listeners, on 15th of January, 2 warships and a submarine will be commissioned on a single day, marking a landmark thing. The Navy is probably the most progressive in terms of indigenization also. They have large amount of self-reliance on their own. So these are the major aspects, Diksha, which have happened in terms of readiness of the 3 forces in the past year or 18 months.
Lastly, Mr. Banerjee, I would like to have your parting comments very briefly on the Aero India, which happens every 2 years in Bangalore. So what are the expectations from Aero India 2025, which is supposed to happen in the month of February in Bangalore?
I'll draw from my 20 years of experience. The first time I went to Air India was almost 20 years ago. So we were a buyer then. Today we are a seller. Keep that in mind. 20 years ago, we were a buyer. People came to sell their goods here. Today, people came to look at us. What are we selling? Large number of small countries look at those planes, want them, look at those guns, they want them, look at those missiles, they want them, look at the radars, they want them. That is why the export number is today 21,000 crores. That is why we say it will go to 50,000 crores very soon, because today we are a seller also. Okay, we are a buyer still. I must put the record on straight. We are still a buyer. Most countries are buyers and sellers.
On that positive note, Mr. Banerjee, I would like to conclude this discussion today. Thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and enlightening us with all the facts about the defense sector.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's strides in the defense sector. The participants were Ajay Banerjee, senior journalist, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.